Welcome to Sin Central Potty again, folks, with your host, Pat Jansen. Listen, a lot of controversy going on along with the who can serve in the military and not. I really don't give a shit. If I had the military, anybody could serve as long as they could shoot straight. But I don't get to make those decisions, and there's a lot more that goes into it than that, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Do want to remind you, though, that children love me, women want me, and men envy me. That's always important for you to remember. Hey, today on the podcast, it's kind of cool. We're going to find out if Bonneville Racing, that land speed record racing, is the only racing left where you can make 50 grand a year if you start at the beginning of the year with 100 grand. We'll find out. But first, I want to let you know that you can now access us on iTunes under Motorcycle Sin Central Potty. iTunes has agreed to open the basement, the cellar, as it were, in order to allow us in. So if you look all the way in their bargain basement, you'll find Motorcycle Sin Central Potty. As far as an update for Sin Central Garage this summer, we're still going and blowing. I've still got my Royal Enfield apart. Matt suffered a little paint work, so, you know, right here before Sturgis to try to get painters to click in and be able to repair stuff is kind of tough, so I'm hopeful that I'll have this repaired after Sturgis. It might happen this week, but I'm not holding out. We did get invited to take Skinny Mini, our Royal Enfield build for Royal Enfield North America, to the Fuel Cleveland show over in Ohio. We unfortunately were not able to take it, again, because it doesn't have a fuel tank on it right now. And so without a fuel tank, it's not much of a motorcycle. Still building the Cafe Racer. Got a Softail project online. I got my boy, Andrew, is got a R6 that I've had for a long time. And he's turning it into kind of a street fighter kind of thing. So we were able to get some bars in for it last week. Hopefully we'll get some work done on that tonight. We're just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. As is usual in the motorcycle business, we're working hard for very little money, but we're having a good time, and people still think we're cool. If we don't start doing something a little different, we might be thinner the next time you see us because we still got to buy food. But anyway, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll make it happen. I'm getting ready to go out to Sturgis. I'll be at the Grease and Gears Garage stage all week starting on Sunday. There, that's downtown Sturgis. What is the name of that? It's where the old Broken Spoke used to be. That's it. And so we're going to be right there. And we're going to have a good time. Got a lot of guys. Got Billy Lane coming out, Mondo. Got a bunch of guys coming out. They're going to be on the stage with me there. Interviewing, building stuff, learning. We're going to be learning stuff from them. So that's going to be good. I'll be at the FXR show hosting that on the mic, Sunday morning. And then I'll also be at the Sportster Showcase on Tuesday. Out at the Buffalo Chip, and we'll also return to the Buffalo Chip that Sunday night to host Rebel Yell Whiskey's presentation there on the stage. And, of course, we'll be there all week, be out there for Ozzy Osbourne on Wednesday and all the fun stuff. So that's Sin Central Garage in a broken nutshell. So, but you know, what's most important today is that we get to talking to badass people doing the coolest shit in the industry. And this is a guy that's been doing that for a long time. Steve Brew Dude Garn, welcome to Sin Central Potty. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing real good, real good. I can't complain a bit.
I know. You told me it's in the mid-70s there, and you're just loving life out there. And now you're in eastern North Carolina, correct?
We're in very northwestern North Carolina. We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. Very good. Well, I grew up in eastern North Carolina, and that's right. You're in western North Carolina. I grew up in northeastern North Carolina and used to go to the mountains all the time. It's a beautiful place to be. That is God's country if there ever was one. So I'm sure you're enjoying yourself there. Now, you are, you told me before we got on air that you are not going to Sturgis, that you are getting ready to do some serious land speed record chasing, and that's what you're focused on, man. Tell me what's going on out there with the salt, then we're going to get to what you're riding. What's going on out there, man? I keep hearing reports that the salt's bad. What's going on out there with that?
Well, I actually talked to one of the guys that we pit with yesterday for a long time, and he had people that were actually on the salt. Everybody's saying that the salt is better than last year, which wasn't a good year. So,
okay.
They're all saying, you know, it's a little better than last year, but for the old timers are saying that, you know, it's still not, you know, still not like it used to be. And, but it is, you know, it will be better than last year unless, you know, Mother Nature changes the weather.
Sure. Now, is that a result of just the massive amounts of rain that it had gotten over the last couple of years? Is it overuse? Is it, you know, what is going on with the salt there? Is it just cyclical?
Well, I'm not an expert, so what has been happening the last decade is they're overmining the brine off the salt. So by doing that, the salt is being taken away for fertilizer and salt, of course, too. And it's just being overmined, and hopefully, you know, someday they'll stop that and let it build back up. But and then, you know, the weather, too, with the rain and so forth, and they actually have had too much rain some years, but then you need the rain also to bring the brine back up to make salt. So it's a mixture of the two or three items, you know.
Okay. So, well, that's, you know, we see, you know, those pressures on a lot of our lands in the United States, all over the world, really. Everybody's faced with it. But here in the U.S., where we have recreational land that also is commercially used land, that becomes a difficult balance to try to maintain. And so often recreation, neither good nor bad, but recreation loses out to that every once in a while.
Right.
But that is, yes, but so now you do all kinds of stuff. You build, you're not only in the motorcycle world, you're in the bicycle world. And I got to tell you, Steve, that's always been a little weird to me. Bicycles. You know, whenever I see an adult riding a bicycle, I just assume they got a DUI. Okay. Bottom line. I am. But now you've built, but you're a world class bicycle builder as well. You built a bicycle for Pee Wee Herman, and you write articles and do bicycle frame building classes and that kind of stuff. You do a lot of stuff. How did you get into the bicycle motorcycle thing?
Well, you know, I've always been into motorcycles. That's my first love. And then back in the mid-70s, you know, I was racing motocross and was actually third in the Southeast. And then I had multiple dislocated shoulders. I mean, multiple. And so when I came back after surgeries, I opened my own motorcycle shop in 1974. And was doing suspension work and port work and stuff. I started doing port work back in 72. And then to help pay for the racing also, BMX racing had just started. And so we just started doing BMX bikes, you know, at the same time to help pay for the motorcycle racing. And then over the years, it's kind of evolved to where we're – fortunate enough to do so many people, you know, Olympians and national championships and many triathletes and BMXers. And then, of course, you know, we did the Pee Wee Herman bike in 2010. So, yeah, it's kind of gone full circle. But what I've tried to do is make sure that motorcycles are my first love, that I don't go 100% into doing that so it won't ruin my love for the bikes. Motorcycles.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and man, so you were really—I mean, you were a pioneer in the BMX world in that way, because that really—I mean, that was that didn't really catch national attention until the late '70s. Correct. It was kind of a Southern California thing, and but now that's blown up where it's in the Olympic. You know, it's an Olympics, was an Olympic sport from 2008. Been the X Games and all that kind of stuff. So you were a pioneer there, correct?
Yeah, you know, the very first BMX National, Grand National, was during the pregame show for the Orange Bowl in 75. And we were fortunate enough to get a third on the podium. They only had four classes back then. And so it really shot, you know, back then it wasn't Brew, it was SG Cycle Works. And so it kind of shot our name forward. And Yeah, so I was lucky enough there, you know, being at the right place, right time. And then I was the first welder that MCS Bicycles hired. I think it was 1977, welding for their BMX bikes, and then gradually came back to on different things. You know, I got into cars and boats and so forth for a few years, and then started back in 87, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's just, man, that is an amazing connection, but it really is. I mean, for anybody that races motorcycles, going to, from, you know, BMX to motocross is kind of a standard kind of move now. So now what's it like?
What was really strange with that is, during like 2002 up to 2006, we were actually doing 250 BMX bikes a week.
So you knew George Esser and his sons and those folks that were doing all the BMX and the motocross stuff?
Yes, George Esser, you know, raced NML, and then back then it wasn't NBL, which is National Bicycle League. It was still NML Bicycle Division with George Esser. And then George Esser started MCS Bicycles, and then with Rick Connery. And then Rick, we started a company with him, and then I was the first welder. Rick knew me from when we were doing SG Cycle Works, and then also racing for Motocross Incorporated, which he was the head machinist for that shop back then in the mid-70s.
Man, that's such a great history, man. That is amazing. So now, obviously, racing bicycles is fun, but when you get out on that salt, man, what's it feel like to throw your leg over a bike out there and know that you're going to peg that throttle and you're just going to go wide open for, what is it, 10 miles? What is that like?
Well, I run a short course, so luckily for me, I have a mile run up and then a wide open mile. So my track course is up to 5 miles, but I can do it in 3. But what's scary with me, not scary, but could be eventful, is that I race a two-stroke, and they don't like to be run out that long a period without leaning out and then, you know, seizing a piston and then, oops, you know, I'm down.
Yep.
So you're always on.
Yeah, that's bad because that piston seizes up, your rear wheel decides that, well, it looks like we're on vacation.
Yes, and that's what caused my original dislocated shoulders back in the 70s was going off a triple when my engine seized. And so, you know, you have to be aware that, you know, something can happen. And then at the same time, you know, the salt changes as you ride. It's not real smooth like people think it is. It's kind of rough and there's hard spots. And then all of a sudden you'll get into a mushy spot that almost feels like you're into beach sand in a certain area. So, you know, the first couple runs, it's really eventful that you don't know where that stuff is.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Now, what kind of bike are you going to be running out there this year? What are you taking out there?
We're doing the RD350 again. I wanted to bring the 48 Harley 45, but funds won't allow it this year. And but we had the RD350 last year, and we got 2 number one national AMA plates with it. But when I came home, we started looking at stuff, and I left a lot of speed that should have been done by just making changes, you know, for the top end. And so that's what we're doing right now is, you know, changing up to from 34 millimeter to 40 millimeter electrons, and we're changing the reed valves and so forth. So we're changing quite a bit of things on the engine this year over last year, and hopefully it'll give us a huge boost.
All right, now that's the orange bike, correct?
No, this is the blue bike. The orange bike was the CB350, which we used to race at the Ohio Mile. Blue bike.
Okay.
This is the one that we had at Lichter's show at Sturgis in 2013.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very cool bike. So now there's all these big money deals in racing all the time with NASCAR and IndyCar and NHRA. How do you weed out all of the money sponsors that are coming to you all the time?
Well, you know, I wish that was a problem. And, you know, we're really fortunate that we do have some companies that love us to test our product to see, you know, how it holds up and so forth, especially in the salt and the extreme heats out there. And luckily, you know, Spectro is really good about helping us out, and I feel real good when you tear a bike down. It's got 412 miles on the salt, and you look at the pistons, and they look real good. And those, you know, again, the pistons we're using are the Wiseco forged ones, which luckily won't shatter like a cast piston. But when you take the stuff apart, it still looks so good, and I love it when companies say, hey, here, you know, we just got some new product in a couple weeks ago, and said, here, go ahead and use it in the salt and tell me how it works. And I wish it was money.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You know, here's your trip. But, you know, we have been fortunate that people have gone on our website and stuff and have sponsored us, you know, with $20, $50 type things and PayPal us. And that helps out, you know, with the, you know, with fuel and stuff, because you're talking, you know, with driving 2,200 miles, quite a bit of fuel, you know, one way.
Oh yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, and that's a factor for a lot of guys, you know, with shops out there. You know, people, I know that just from, you know, they want me to come to the Fuel Cleveland show, you know, and I was like, oh, that's great, man. But, you know, I was just in at the Lone Star Rally, and I was just at the Smokeout, and now, you know, that money starts to add up when you start trying to eat and have fuel and carry bikes around and all this. So it is hard to weed out kind of how you're going to do it and that, but I'm glad you're doing it. It's really a good deal for companies, though. If anybody out there owns a company, it's a good deal for companies to sponsor guys like you. Because they get a lot of bang for their buck. I mean, you know, you are driving all the way across country, and so every place you go, people are interested in the racing, and they see the logo out there, and you do a lot of promotion on your website and on social media with that kind of stuff. So I do hope that a company, I'm glad Spectro has picked up on you, but it would be great if, you know, a company out there could throw you, you know, some money to be able to do that, because it'd be exciting to see where you could go, you know, with the additional funds. So I'm sure it would be nice to be able to ride on the salt one day, like a lot of the folks do, having somebody driven their bike out there and they fly in or in nice and fresh to ride, huh?
Well, you know, sort of, except, you know, the journey out there, last year we went through, I hate to say it, but we had 5 automatic transmissions, $1,100 tow bill. We didn't have the van all week. We actually had to have the van towed out to Wendover from Salt Lake City, and so they could take it back to the transmission shop. The transmission that somebody had put in previously was the wrong transmission, and so every time they tried to rebuild the old transmission, it would, you know, puke the guts out. And so it was really, really nice. I hate to say that, but it was a blessing in disguise that we had to depend, which isn't normally like me, I had to depend on outside people, and we became really good friends over it. And it was the Bonneville, the motorcycle speed trials is basically like a family. And the people, there's no egos. Everybody helps each other out. I mean, we had to be towed out to the salt, unload, and then, you know, I mean, and then people back and forth and bring us back and take us out at night. And then we finally got the van back the night we were leaving. And so it was a good adventure.
Yeah, well, you know, and I guess with motorcycles, it is the journey that is what we're seeking, even beyond anything else, awards or destinations or anything else, records. It is the journey that is what draws us. So I appreciate that out of you. So now you also have competed, done some pretty high-stakes competition on mini bikes against Jeremy Cup of LC Fabrications and Kevin Beener, the wandering kind of motorcycle muse. What's it like racing those mini bikes with those guys, and where do you plan on doing that next?
Well, you know, I don't know where we're planning next. I just talked to Jeremy the other day. In fact, I just built him a new mountain bike. I don't know where we're going to be racing next. We keep saying we're going to get back together and race, and you know, schedule-wise and stuff, it's hard for the three of us now because the three between the three of us, it's we want to win. everybody says, "Oh, you do it for fun," but when the three of us get together, we all want to kind of have a little bragging rights and stuff. And they're good competitors and they're great friends, and it's just good fun.
Well, that's good. Well, that's great, man. Well, I tell you, one last thing before we go that I want to point out, I want to put out there is that you also do welding classes, you'll do 1 or 2 day welding classes, either, you'll do TIG classes, and, do you do TIG and MIG or TIG and?
We mainly just do TIG, and then we also do some fillet brazing classes with, you know, with the torch.
Okay, brazing. Okay. And very reasonably priced, I tell you, and great classes. You'll do private classes if necessary. When I was living in Georgia, I know I'd hit you up. I was going to come take a TIG class and never got up there. I need to come out and do that. Maybe I'll grab a couple of buddies, and we'll make a run out to your place and schedule a class with you. And because you also do that. But if anybody's interested in seeing all of the cool stuff that Steve does, it is brewracingframes.com. Is that your website?
Yep, and make sure it's plural, the frames, because, you know, it's brew, B-R-E-W.
Okay.
So.
All right, so brew bikes. Now, how did you get the name Brew Dude, by the way?
Well, you know, our original company was Blue Ridge Electric and Welding. And so, you know, when you put stuff on, you don't put that on your equipment, you know, because it'll take you forever. So we just did the acronym, you know, B-R-E-W. And then so people just start calling us Brew. And then back in the 80s, you know, everybody was calling each other Dude. Hey, Dude, you know, and then people would come up and say, "What's the Brew Dude?" And so, you know, that's how it started. And, never lost it.
That's interesting. Well, your logo, you need, now you've lost all this weight, you need to redo your logo on there so that you don't look like a lumberjack anymore. Now you look like one of these skinny little hipster guys, man. You're just so thin.
Oh, no, not hipster, but a skinny racer.
A skinny racer. We'll put you in some skinny jeans and some loafers and set you out on the track. So, well, Steve, it's good to catch up with you. I'm going to miss not seeing you in Sturgis. Hope to be able to see you again soon. And, again, thank you for everything you do for our industry and have done. And it's an honor for me to be able to talk with you today and know that, you've pioneered so much of what our industry has been. And as it struggles to find its place again, kind of in our culture, you know, that stuff you pioneered, it's going back to it. You know, it's reaching back, for those roots that you planted. And so thank you for being a part of the industry, an industry that's not always profitable and an industry that's not always, easy to stay in, honestly, for multiple reasons. So thank you so much for being relentless in your pursuit in this journey we call motorcycling.
No problem. And make sure that, you know, if anybody's out September 8th in Cherokee, that I will be there talking about my adventure that happened this year in Boston.
Yeah, man. Well, we know it's going to be a great story, and you will have had success because you're just going for the journey. So, man, thanks so much for being on Sin Central Potty today, man, and take care. We'll see you on another time.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Steve Brew Dude Garn, man. Hey, that guy, he's all about everything in the motorcycle world, isn't he? The next half of our podcast, we're going to have Bandit from BikerNet, and this is sponsored by Atomic Bob and his Atomic Dice Studio Arts, taking monsters and aliens to the next level of existence, one monster and alien at a time. So, how are you, Mr. Bandit?
I'm terrific, goddammit.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, man. Are you getting ready to head out to Sturgis?
I am. I'm packing. I'm planning. I'm doing it all, you know, digging up stuff to take to eat on the way. We're packing our bags, packing the trailer, packing the van.
You're getting it all.
Packing our shit and getting out of town.
So makes a mobile home make more sense every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just does. Hey, I just want to say that Brew Dude is a hell of a guy. He's a hell of a technician. He writes some wonderful tech articles. He's a neat guy. And I wish on the flats this year.
Yeah, man. Well, and you're a speed freak yourself. Now, you usually get pretty girls to ride your bikes and win titles on the salt, but you're looking at building. You're now building a belly trike, and you're going to pilot that thing yourself, huh?
That's right. That's right. Actually, in 2006, we went with Valerie Thompson, and I had built the first sport bike panhead. It was an FXR panhead, and we set a little record with it. She did a top speed of 152 miles an hour. It was her first land speed record attempt, and it was her first land speed record. And she did a hell of a job. And so we went the next year because we sort of looked around and learned a hell of a lot about racing on the salt. So when I came back, I said, okay, now we're going to build something just for the salt. And so I built what I called the world's fastest panhead, and we went back out, and you were talking about salt conditions, and that year, 2007, the salt conditions weren't that good, and we put nitrous on this bike, and she couldn't even use it, but she still did 162 miles an hour on our assault wet pan, we called it. And every year we give a bike a different name just because it's kind of fun. The first one was called the Salt Shaker, and the second one was called the Salt Weapan because it was a panhead. And so, again, we set another record, but those were Valerie's first two records, and now she's set, 15 or 20 records. She is now the fastest woman. I think she's the fastest woman on the planet at 304 miles an hour in Dennis Manning's Streamliner. So then
that is incredible.
Around, actually, I was involved with the Easy Riders Streamliner, and I believe it was 1990. In 1990, we set the world land speed record for motorcycles at 321 miles an hour. And I was a small member of the team. Dave Campos was the rider. And we set the world land speed record for motorcycles and held it for 16 years. And 2006, when I'm standing on the salt, that was the first time someone beat that record, and that was Dennis Manning. And since then, it's been back and forth between Dennis Manning and the ACK Attack guys. And the ACK Attack guys right now are in Bolivia, and they're trying to after the record again. So it's it's really interesting that now Valerie is the pilot for Dennis Manning. So it's pretty amazing. It's years and years ago. I'm talking 1975. I knew a guy named Bob George who built this Streamliner. And he taught me how to build engines. And I took him down and introduced him to Joe Teresi, who owned Jammer Cycle at the time and was a part owner of Paisano Publications. And they ended up being the sponsor. You guys were talking about sponsors. They ended up being the sponsor, and they sort of took over that Streamliner for years and years and went back and forth to Bonneville hundreds of times, And
man,
but they could, they could never quite get to the record. But they did with Joe Teresi and as the boss and that was in 1990.
Wow. Well, that's I know that just Yeah, well, we've actually, it's funny that I was thinking the same thought while you were talking about all those different people being involved and stuff and how great a tech that Steve Garn is. And, you know, it doesn't just take balls to get on one of those and ride it. It takes a lot of trust in the machine that you're getting on and the people that have built that machine. And, like I got this, I got one of these biker etiquette questions in, here a few minutes ago, from Rudy, and he said, you know, he says, I like working on my car. I've replaced the carb, brakes, water pump, wheels, and tires. But if a wheel came off, he's just embarrassed. He said, if it happens on my bike, I'm shit out of luck. How can I be comfortable working on my own bike? What suggestion would you have for him, working on your own bike and being able to trust it?
It's a, you know, it's sort of a confidence issue. It's a self-esteem issue. Generally, when you work on your own stuff, you put way more thought and care and detail and concern in it than any mechanic's going to put in your vehicle. So,
right.
And I think we discussed about this the last time about tipping mechanics and things like that. But it used to be that if I did almost everything. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to have my own chrome facility behind my house because I didn't trust anybody. You know, I was going to do everything. Well, you finally learn that, you know, you just can't do everything. So you've got to trust people. But a lot of times when I would take my bike to a shop and have them do something on it or work with that shop on a tech, when I would bring it home, I'd always go over everything. Just because I know a mechanic's, you know, he's working for a living. He's got other pressures on him. His girlfriend is bitching at him. You know, you just got to back him up just like you would a friend. You know, if a friend came over to your
right.
house and you guys worked on his bike, he'd help and you'd help, you know, and you'd give him his best thoughts. In fact, just the other day, we were working on a Dynaglide here, and we did a race tech front end tech on his bike, and we put Yelvington shocks on it, and we did a lot of work on it. And there were two or three guys in the shop, and I got to tell you this is kind of funny. You know, I'm 69 years old now, and my confidence level, like we were talking about, is not quite what it was when I was 25, 30 years old. And so I really nowadays, I like it when other guys are around because they may remember something that I forgot 5 years ago, you know. So,
right.
So
yeah.
It's always good to, and, you know, you use your manual, you use your parts book, and Jeremiah was supposed to come and help us, and he didn't show up. And we had to press a stem out of a bottom triple tree. And we did it and it was fine. But Jeremiah came in about 6 o'clock and we were kind of just putting this other front end back together just so we could set it over in the corner. It was all going to be in one piece. And we started to put the stem in and he goes, oh, you know, that stem is tapered. That was some piece of information that would have saved us. You know, it would have saved us 20 minutes earlier in the day because we were pressing it out the wrong way.
Right.
And I don't think we did it any damage, but still, if we had known that, we would have put it in the press and it would have popped right out.
Yep. Well, and that's it's always good to have other people around. So, yeah. So, and
yeah.
If you're not confident, we've covered before on here, go back and listen, you know, find a good independent shop.
Did I lose you?
Well, Bandit,
are you back?
I think we lost Pat from Sin Central.
Wow.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen this year. Are we going to be looking at a belly tank this year?
Yes. No.
Pat, are you back on?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. I just dropped out. It's like my line fainted there. I don't know what's going on. So, but I heard you guys talking about the belly tank. That's where I was going to go through. That's where I was headed, was to, just to ask, where are you in terms of fabricating this belly tank trike and everything?
Well, it's at Paco. It's at Paco's headquarters in Carson City, Nevada. Those guys have been scrambling, going to lots of events and things like that, and we just haven't been able to make the progress that we'd like to make. But I saw the guys at the Born Free event, and I said, okay, you got to promise me that next year at Born Free, that belly tank's going to sit here and blow people away. And he looked at me and nodded, because I mean, we're close. We've got the design of the frame done and kind of mocked out. We just need to have some time to get it welded up. Then I'm going to get it back to you here to the shop here in Los Angeles, and we're going to put that puppy together, get it painted, get it out to Born Free, and then get it out to the salt. Now you mentioned the salt. The salt goes through a real series of flux between the weather and between the salt manufacturers taking it off of salt flats. They're actually supposed to put it back on the salt flat after they go through their process, and they haven't been doing that. But one of these days you should do an interview with Louise Noeth. She's responsible, or she's the head of a salt organization, and she's all over this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting because, you know, that's a question that I hear, you know, kind of when we're just roundtable and, you know, at motorcycle events, the question of what's going on with the salt? You know, not all of us do that. I don't ride. I don't race. I don't do dirt bikes. I don't do any of that stuff. And so, you know, and a lot of other people don't. We're always curious. It's like, why is the salt not right? So, you know, I think a lot of people think that the salt is just there and that nobody else does anything with it. But it in fact is a commercial endeavor out there that's shared. So it's a shared interest. So that would be interesting. So
it is fascinating.
Now, where are you going to be and where are you going to try to post up in Sturgis this year if somebody wants to come find you?
Well, I'm going to be wandering around. I'll be staying at Deadwood. I'll be at the Buffalo Chip for a couple of events, hopefully the FXR show, but at least the Mike Lichter industry party. And then Woody is an industry do up there at the chip on Sunday. And of course I'm going to be at the Hall of Fame breakfast in Deadwood on Wednesday morning.
Right. All right. Well, I'll for sure see you Wednesday morning. I'll see you Sunday night and Wednesday morning. I'm looking forward to getting to catch up with you. And I appreciate you as always being generous with your time and your knowledge. And love always opening up Cycle Source magazine and getting those two pages of BikerNet news down in there and all the reviews and everything that you do. And the website, of course, you know, you're just doing such a great job all the time still in the motorcycle industry. You are a damn juggernaut of industry information, brother. So thanks for being with me today.
Oh, you bet, Pat. I always enjoy talking to you.
All right, man. I look forward to seeing you here.
You got it.
Thank you. You too, buddy. Good luck packing.
All right. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sin Central Potty for today. I want to thank Steve Brewdude Garn and the Bandit from BikerNet for being with us. Always great to get information from them, get a little help from some biker etiquette on some biker etiquette questions from them. Want to thank our sponsors, of course. As always, couldn't do this without them. The Custom Culture Artisan Show at the Blue Ridge Run Rally in Cherokee, North Carolina, happening second weekend in September. We want to get out there and see that. It's all things related to motorcycle culture. It's going to be a great time. And, of course, Steve Garn is going to be with us there talking about his racing endeavors that he's about to pursue. So you don't want to miss that on Friday there at the Custom Culture Artisan Show at the Blue Ridge Run Rally in Cherokee, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, children love me, women want me, men envy me. This is Pat Jansen. I'm out for now. Go build something, ride something, but don't piss anybody off while you're doing it.